You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
What's going on, Detroit? This is me, Mike Jeter. Welcome once again to another fine episode of Jeter Deals With It, where I take on some of the hottest topics and issues in the world today, or not. Tonight, I'm not going to do that. Tonight, I have a great show with two very funny comedians. So let's kick this bad boy off. To my right, your left, on the radio dial, is a local comedian. He's from my hometown of Pontiac, Michigan. Very funny cat. Performs all over Detroit, all over the Midwest. So we're going to give it up for Jeremiah Pauling. Give it up, Jeremiah. What's up, brother?
What up, brother?
All right. That's JP in the house. But I have a special guest who's calling in all the way from Scotland. Where Scotland? You said near Glasgow, right?
I don't even know.
But this cat, very funny individual. He gets around. He does his comedy. And we'll delve more into it because we're talking comedy tonight with my main man all the way from Scotland. Give it up, ladies and gentlemen, for Pablo Sirski. What's going on, P.S.?
Cheers, mate. How you been?
I'm great. How are you?
Not bad, man. It's 1 o'clock here at the moment, 1 o'clock in the morning, so... Obviously, being Scottish, I am heavily intoxicated, thoroughly medicated, and 2 minutes ago, I just tried to open a beer with a cheese grater. So, that's not even a joke.
What kind of beer?
You're going to hate me, actually. You're going to hate me. It's Coors Light.
Jesus, man. Come on, dude. Coors Light.
Well, it was all I had in the fridge. I had four bottles of Coors Light. And that was all that was left, by the way. And one of those sort of mad craft beers, you know, the sort of crafty beers that you get. I don't know how big they are over in the States at the moment, but...
The IPAs and all that jazz.
Yeah. The one I was drinking was called the Thirsty Ferret. Apparently, it's made from real badgers.
Real badgers?
Yeah, I don't know.
What part of the badger? That's what I want to know. That's not good.
It tastes like the asshole, but it just says badgers on it. But I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you guys?
All right, man. Great, man. We have great weather over here. And, of course, you're in the northern hemisphere, so the weather's probably getting better over there too, right?
We've had not a bad run of it. I was visiting the States a couple of weeks ago, actually. I was over in Vegas, and... when I came back, we were actually in the middle of a heat wave. It was 10 degrees.
Celsius, right?
Celsius.
We don't mess with that jazz over here, man.
Right.
USA. Right. USA. No, I'm just kidding.
What's 10 degrees Celsius? That's what? How many degrees?
10 degrees Celsius is, 60?
Oh, yeah.
About 68, 70?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't want my inner nerd to come leaking out.
Anything above 10 degrees Celsius is our kind of like paddling pool barbecue weather, you know?
Oh, so really? It's like 112 or something.
Damn.
Yeah.
It feels
like 112, yeah.
I'll take that back because I'll barbecue any time of the year. It doesn't matter. Right. We can have snow on the ground.
Right.
I mean, that's the best time to barbecue because the smoke is all thick, you know? It doesn't escape as fast.
We tend to not have that many barbecues over here. You know, I had a barbecue the last time we had a family barbecue was April last year, actually. April last year. And believe it or not, my grandfather died.
Oh, sorry. What? To hear that.
Yeah, he died at the barbecue. Yeah, I mean, there was nothing wrong with him. He just threw himself on to try and stay warm.
Oh, okay.
You know, we were all a bit devastated. I mean, we all left with full bellies, but we were devastated.
Hold on. So, what did you guys barbecue over there?
Yeah.
Oh, anything, mate. Anything. Bacon, barbecue. Cheese, bacon. Halloumi. halloumi cheese, Greek cheese. That's amazing. I don't know if you've never had it, you should try it. It's this, it's Greek cheese, but it's, we call it squeaky cheese. Squeaky and when you cheese. Eat it, your mouth just kind of squeaks. It's great.
Oh, okay.
Would you guys, it's not like you don't have like ribs and.
Yeah, we don't really, we don't really go in for ribs, man. I know, like you guys, when you have barbecue, I mean, you do barbecue. You know what I mean? You do it like it should be done, and you fucking throw on ribs and you throw on like whole chickens and fucking, you know, get all that. But like we just basically have burgers, sausages, and a bit of chicken, and that's it.
See, I just gave you a little insight into the differences over here, because if you come over here and you say, hey, I want a barbecue,
right,
that's ribs, chicken,
right,
those types of meats. If you if you come over to a barbecue with hot dogs, you might get hurt,
right? See, right,
that's cookout. Those that's cookout food. Barbecue, right. You know, you can get bring over like Polish sausage and hot links and stuff. But if you bring over hot dogs, man, that might be a throat punch or something.
Unless you're telling them it's for the kids. Like, these hot dogs are for the kids.
The kids get the lower grade cuts of meat.
Right, kids get the Vienna sausage.
Next time I was coming across, I was planning on smuggling in about, you know, 10 pounds of, you know, hot dogs. But it's okay. I'll skip that.
Skip that altogether.
So who I'm obviously I'm speaking to you, Mike, for the first time actual proper in terms of, you know, speaking to you vocally. We chat a lot, man. We chat a lot about stuff. And it's Jeremiah. Robert?
Yes, like in the Bible. Yeah, Jeremiah. It's like
Well, I'm Pablo, as in the biblical Paul. You know, so we've got something in common.
Well, wait a minute, man. Oh, yeah. All right, you have to explain your name. You're from Scotland.
Yes.
And you have a, how can I describe this? A very Latin name.
Mike, it means nothing. It means nothing. It's completely made up.
Ah, gotcha. All right, so you don't want everybody to know your government name. That's what we say over
there's obviously a story behind it. I don't know about yourselves, guys, but when I started doing stand-up, which was about 3.5 years ago now, I kind of veer towards like the kind of dark side of life, you know.
Gotcha.
I can say some shit, you know. And I didn't want anybody knowing that I was doing comedy. I didn't want family, friends, you know, day job stuff at the time, you know. Mm-hmm. Didn't want anyone knowing that I was doing comedy, so I created a fake name. And the only name that I could come up with was Pablo Suske. And that's been 3 years, 3.5 years now. 3.5 years.
That sounds like the bad guy on the movie, though. Your name
isn't it?
Pablo
Suske.
Well, what you should have done, you should have gotten like Childish Gambino and got yourself a Wu-Tang Clan name generator, and then came up with a name from that.
That's how he got his name,
Childish Gambino.
From a Wu-Tang Clan?
Wu-Tang Clan name generator.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of awesome. Well,
So now I want to get a Wu-Tang Clan name generator and see what your stage name should be.
Damn. Yeah, stick it in there.
We'll find one. Or if someone out there who's listening, you want to put our names in a Wu-Tang Clan name generator, come up with 3 stage names for us, for Jeremiah, Pablo, and myself. Now, you said you got into comedy 3.5 years ago.
Yeah, well, the good thing is I know it's working, because I bumped into a pal of mine from school just a couple of weeks ago, actually, just 2 weeks ago, and he asked me what I was up to these days, and I said, well, I'm doing a bit of stand-up comedy, and I go under the name Pablo Suske, and he looked at me and he just went, aye, never fucking heard him. So I knew at that point, I knew the career was going great, but no, 3.5 years ago, mate, 3.5 years, it was December 2013, did my first gig, and things are going well, I think we're all in the same boat. I mean, I'm actually curious as to know what the circuit's like over there as compared to what the circuit's like over here, you know.
What is it like over there? Let's back up. You started 3.5 years ago. How old were you when you started?
35, mate. 35.
Why so late?
That's a good question, mate.
that's why I have a show, man. I ask the tough questions.
It just never occurred to me. It's something I hadn't thought about. I think you actually know some of my friends, I believe, from the old Twitter sphere, you know. And I'd never really thought about comedy. I'd never seen myself as being a funny person. until, I just started doing things. And then I did a podcast myself a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And we actually, I think we had some of your friends on it. You know John Maher?
Absolutely.
We had him on it. It was myself and another guy called Brad John. He's from about 400 miles south of me.
Oh, okay.
And we did a podcast. We did it for about a year and a half. And we just kind of felt, after a while, we both kind of felt like the next logical progression or the next step was to get up on stage and do our stuff on stage to a room full of people. And I don't know about you guys, but when I started doing it, I was kind of depressed, you know, kind of down in the doldrums. And I think you know something's kind of wrong with life when you start to think that standing up on a stage in front of a room full of drunk Glaswegians becomes like a viable route towards happiness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know there's something fucked up there. So I kind of realised that I'm a bit messed up in the head, but at the same time, you know, I like getting my thoughts out there to the masses, and I like doing what I do. And, you know, it's been going well. And you'll know yourself, guys, Jeremiah, Mike, I'm sure, you know, nothing beats that, beats the rush of, you know, dying on your hole.
Right. No, how old were you when you started, Jay?
Shit. 28.
And how old are you now?
28.
Yeah, 28. I'm 35 now.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
So that's 7 years. So 28. And to me, that was kind of late, but it is what it is. But it's never too late for comedy, because comedy is, you know, one of them things. It's like the more you've lived, the more you got to talk about.
Yeah, so, absolutely, man. Yeah, so absolutely.
That's what I always think about. It's never too late.
I was giving it a bit of thought recently, and I was thinking that I wonder what kind of comedian I would have been had I started when I was, say, like 21 or 22.
Mm-hmm. Well, at that time, like, what do you think your influences would have been? Who would have been your influence back then?
Well, at that time, if I'd got any kind of positive press at 21 or 22, I would have been a complete asshole.
So you would have had a Mardi Gras head. You would have had a big head walking around.
Oh,
like,
fuck yeah. Oh, my ego would have been through the roof. I'd be walking about thinking I was God's gift and everything. But at that time, at sort of 20, 21, I mean, I kind of grew up with the old English shows. You'll probably know, like, the things like Monty Python.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah, Monty Python.
Yeah. Like, loved Monty Python growing up. Blackadder. I don't know if you know Blackadder. That's more of a sort of British thing. Fawlty Towers.
Benny Hill. You used to watch Benny Hill growing up?
I didn't. No, I never watched Benny Hill.
You never watched Benny Hill?
Really?
That's why I'm a pervert now, because Benny Hill. I used to watch Benny Hill.
Was it popular over there? Because over here, it was massive.
It was massive, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just didn't hold your appeal?
It just something, I just never got, it was just one of the things that I never actually got into. And I don't know why. I'm surprised about that. I'm surprised. So Benny Hill was massive over there.
Oh, it was huge over here, man.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I was real little when Benny Hill came out. I used to have to sneak at night.
It was like 11:30 at night.
Yeah. So I used to get whoopings just to watch Benny Hill. I used to get beat. It was that deep for me, man. I had to watch Benny Hill.
But was it the comedy that inspired you, or was it the women running about in scantily clothing, shall we say?
You know what? Now when you look back, it was probably a mixture of both. What I'm saying? Yeah, it was a mixture of both, because I was a kid, so all I knew was a tingly feeling, and I had laughter. That's all I wanted. It was like the tingle feeling and laughter. So
I had to admit, my balls probably dropped to Benny Hill. That's when I became, my voice got deep and everything.
Right, quick.
You know, I was like, oh, that's how you got a woman? You got to run around with her and play that music in your head?
Right.
So that's what romance is. It was the hardest year ever laughed and ejaculated at the same time. But I'm confused, man. No, I'm not confused, but I just didn't think Benny Hill's sort of humor or the Benny Hill slapstick. I didn't think that would have traveled. I never thought that. I've never thought for one second
it was huge.
Would have traveled.
Oh yeah,
bikinis and boobs is all you needed, really.
I suppose that's true. That's true. Yeah.
And you need you need some crazy wild horn music to add to the boobs. And then... Now, how would you describe your comedy, man? Because you said you were dark.
If I was to describe it in three words, I would probably say dark as fuck. I am relatively, or basically, quite a dark comedian, you know. I don't know if you're still there, because it seems to have gone quiet.
No, we're here.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I thought it got out. But no, I'm dark, man. I'm a dark comedian. I don't like to tread the well worn path. You know, there's always well worn paths. Like, I don't know. It's like, I suppose it's kind of like the middle aged white guy curse, and that's the. You know, you're just going down this path of, you know, fucking, I'm not good with women, and jokes about dating apps and online dating, and just, I don't know, there's just lots of stuff. I like to tackle things that aren't exactly, I like to joke about the things that terrify us, if I'm being honest.
Right.
You know, I've got lots of
not
routines.
That mainstream
routines
stuff, that, right?
Yeah. Like, it's very unlikely you'd ever see me on BBC One at 7 o'clock on a right. fucking Tuesday night, you know, or any night of the week for that matter. Because yeah, I tend to shy away from mainstream comedy. I go dark. I mean, what about yourself, Mike? What's your kind of comedy? Who are your influences?
Well, I mean, for me, it's the huge man over here. You know, the Eddie Murphys, Dave Chappelle's. I like smart and silly. Mm-hmm. I like a good mixture of that. I don't like it to be too silly and too loud and all that. Right. But I like the comedy to have some kind of edge or at least some message in it. What about you, Jay?
I watched Chappelle's special. I watched the, you know, the Age of Spin. I watched that a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. And I couldn't believe that he was coming in for stick. I couldn't believe he was getting grief from the, you know, the LBGT community for some of the things he was saying, when basically what he was saying was just bang on the money, you know, to me at least.
Well, I don't think we discussed that a few weeks ago on one of the other shows, my interpretation of it was just him explaining the difficulty and understanding that, because he comes from an age and a time when people didn't deal with that. And deal with it openly, and for people to expect everyone to pivot because it's acceptable now, I think that's just wrongheaded.
Right.
And I've watched it a couple times to study it. Mm-hmm. That's what I took from it. That's what I gathered from it. He was having a difficult time dealing with the whole LGBT, you know, Q thing and what it meant to him, because growing up in his world, you didn't do that. Now, I'm not saying it's right, wrong, or otherwise, but that's his reality.
Confusing.
That's it, right. Yeah, you know, that's his reality.
I don't know what the... I know a gay is. I know a lesbian is. What's the rest of this other shit? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you don't know the other letters?
I don't know. I understand lesbians. I got gay cousins. That's fine. I got, you know... What is this transgendered of this flippity-floppity...
Yeah, I think somebody's been watching, been playing too much Scrabble-ish, you know.
They need some help. They need. I feel like, I don't know if we're gonna get on this subject. I just feel
we're talking, man.
Well, we're here now, but I just feel like if you a man and you feel like you trapped in a woman's body, then you need some psychological help. Because if I'm a man and I start barking and I think I'm a dog, guess where I'm going? To the psych ward.
Yes, true.
So what's the freaking difference, man? You know.
See, and herein lies the thing, you know, because that's your reality in what you feel.
And
all that. And me, I've grown up, I just never begrudge anyone their feelings. If someone's upset over something or they're bothered by something, go ahead and be bothered and upset by it. However, that doesn't mean that everyone else has to jump on board with what you feel or what you believe.
Right.
And that's the thing that I took from the whole Chappelle thing. Because I actually saw that a while ago, that tour, mm-hmm. you know, and checked it out. He did all of the same jokes. And there are times where people kind of clenched up because people get uncomfortable about it.
Right.
And I think as comedians, like your comedy, you know, Pablo, I think it's important that we talk about things that make people uncomfortable. You know, but because you also have to understand the silliness in a lot of the stuff that we discuss as well.
Right.
But again, people coming down on him for how he feels. And I think a little bit of his personal feelings were in those jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, I'm confused by all of this.
Right.
That's his right to feel confused about it.
Right.
And anyone that says you can't feel that way because you're imposing or impeding on someone else's rights. No, he's not. He's saying, I don't feel comfortable with it.
Right. Right.
You know, I don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
So that's my feeling about it.
I'm sorry, go ahead. As I said, well, I started comedy when I was 35. I'm 38 now, but I take great care, and when I joke about certain things, I try to take great care to mention that, you know, maybe I'm being ignorant, you know, maybe I'm just showing my age, you know, because mm-hmm. personally believe at 38, you know, I'm at that stage where I grew up in a different era. Things are massively different now to where they were when I was, you know, becoming a man, or when I was, you know, reaching adulthood and learning about the world. Mm-hmm. Things are massively different now. And I have to make sure that I try and sort of, yeah, just get that point across, that maybe if I'm talking about something, maybe I'm seeing it from an old-fashioned point of view. And I think in comedy terms, especially in Scotland just now, because Scotland is it's a very liberal country at the moment, you know. It's heavily, you know, towards the left-wing side of politics and everything. And I just feel like when I'm on stage and when I'm doing what I'm doing, I need to let people know that I am a child, or I'm a human being of a slightly different era. And it's getting that message across, you know. And I still to this day don't know if I do it well or not.
Well, because of that, and because the country is the way it is, does that influence your jokes? I mean, is there something that you just won't talk about?
No. I'll joke about anything. Put it this way: like I've definitely forged a reputation for myself in Scotland, and I'm the kind of comedian that I would say divides opinion. You know,
like pitchforks and torches. Opinions, or
I've had many. But put it this way, here's an example for you. I've had many complaints about certain things and aspects of my comedy, but all the complaints have always been from, I'm just going to say it, middle-aged white people.
Goddamn middle-aged white people, man. They are the problem in every country.
What other kind of people are there in Scotland other than middle-aged white people? I mean, like, I ain't really know Scotland.
I don't even know this.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I've never seen a Scottish kid.
What other choice do you have?
I'll be honest with you guys. I live in a town just outside of Glasgow. I live in a town called Lark Hall. And I'll be honest with you, I think in the 7 years I've lived here, I've only seen one black person.
One black. How many Asians?
Two.
Two? Wow.
Wait a minute. Is he black Scottish?
Right.
No, we apparently they ran them all out in the 80s, mate.
So they did they did a St. Patrick move,
right,
and played a flute and chased them all out like the Snatcher.
They played a saxophone for us.
All three of them.
Jazz over here.
They play
jazz
some Al Jarreau. It's like so was scattered.
Right.
We better be. And everybody just left.
And some Kenny G.
I didn't ask you, Jeremiah. What, or who are your influences in comedy?
Man, my influences in comedy and my influences is Joan Rivers is one of my influences.
Interesting.
She bad.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
people need to realize she was cold. Like she. She broke the mold for women, and she bust open the door for women, and she was funny as shit. Like, she was just, like, you watch her her last stand-up special. Is you smoking a bowl over there?
I'm smoking something. I'll move away from the mic.
No,
you're fine. You're
pass
fine,
it
man.
Up. Move closer. Just pass it. So she was cool. She was hilarious. I always liked funny women, though. Like Samora, she's always hilarious to me. Mike Epps is one of my favorite. Who else?
Well, to your
Chappelle,
point,
you well, know,
or, but to your point, you the first person you called out was Joan Rivers,
yeah,
right,
yeah.
Which is fascinating to me. You being a black male,
yeah,
her an older white female, obviously much, 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 much older than we are,
yeah.
You know, rest her soul and all that.
Yeah.
So, as far as women in comedy, you obviously think that women are funny.
Oh yeah.
But how do you think they're treated here in this country? Do you think they're treated fairly, or is it about right? Is there a female comedian that's like Amy Schumer? She's catching all kinds of hell for her special for ripping off jokes, supposedly, and everything else. I mean, what do you think about that?
She is.
I think that if she I lose respect for anybody who rips off jokes blatantly. You know, I lose respect for people right there. But as far as her star status right now, I mean, it is what it is, you know. I think, you know, she earned it. You know, she was funny as far as watching her from, what was it, Last Comic Standing? So as far as I know, that was funny,
you know, and that was her. And as far as I know, that was her original stuff. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, she is where she is.
But do you think female comics are treated fairly in this country?
Fairly. In comparison to how men are.
I mean, because it just seemed like it's like I can tell you dozens and dozens and dozens of male comics that do not think females are funny at all.
Yeah.
And I think it comes down to a relatability thing, at least in my head.
Right.
But they don't think they're funny at all. And I don't mean like, oh, Lucille Ball was funny or Joan Rivers was funny. Yeah. They don't think any female. Yeah. If you got boobs, none of them.
Yeah.
Like Caitlyn Jenner right now would have been funny 5 years ago.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So I'm always interested in hearing how or what male comics think about female comics. Like over in Scotland, are there a lot of female comics?
Well, I'm actually curious about that. Like, what, if they don't like female comics, like, what do they think of female comedic actresses, for example? You know, like Kirsten Wiig, you know, who I think is funny as hell.
Right.
I think
is a little different because it's more like improv versus stand-up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I'm curious. I'm actually curious, you know, because, I mean, I know it's exactly the same, Mike, right? It's exactly the same over here. Mm-hmm. We get it very often. The ratio to male to female comics is really low. Like you've got for every gig that you're going to be at, the people that are battering down doors to get spots to get gigs, it's not even 10 to 1. It's probably 20 to 1. You know, mm-hmm. for every 20 men, there's one female.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot of.
The problem is that I don't know whether it's a stigma. Because what happens is you go to so many gigs and you go and then after the gig and you're speaking to the audience as you do and you're chatting to them at breaks and afterwards and they're saying, oh, you know, that woman that was on, didn't like her. But I don't know whether they're predisposed to thinking that they already don't like them and don't even give them a chance.
Exactly. Yeah, but I know for a fact that, like, I've seen, like, the funny women here, like, in Detroit, it's a lot of funny women.
Yes,
you know, it's some very funny women here. And so I honestly think a woman that is actually funny has more opportunity as far as in the comedy world.
You think so?
I mean, as long as she look good, you know, she can even look halfway decent.
Okay, but you just said.
She look good.
But that's a problem, though. What does her looks have to do with her being funny?
It don't have nothing to do with being funny with me. But as far as marketability, it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't ignore that. You know, well,
right. But I think that's the one of the big issues because, you know, because you look at like Leslie Jones.
Yeah.
Leslie Jones is funny.
Yeah, she's funny.
You know, but she was what? 45?
Yeah.
When she got on the Saturday Night Live. And I think she was the oldest castmate ever.
Yeah.
And there were the first thing that people started talking about were her looks, how tall she is, how big she is, how black she is,
right?
You know, how unattractive this, that, and the other.
Right.
I don't know. You remember last summer with the whole Ghostbusters thing? People just dumped on her, man.
Yeah.
And even with that, you know, female comedians, they have to deal with male comedians being overtly sexual towards them or weird, you know, and all of that. And obviously it's not just in the United States. It seems like it's over in Europe too.
Do you ever think that works, that can sometimes that works both ways?
How so?
I know you're saying like they have to deal with, you know, like male comedians being overtly sexual towards them. Well, I'm sure that does happen. I'm sure it does. Mm-hmm. But I also think it works the other way too. But it's just the guys don't think anything of it. You know?
I don't know. I know.
I'm not saying it happens. I'm not saying it happens all the time. Yeah. But I just think it. I think everything and all things being equal, I think there's a little bit. Well, basically, what I'm saying is, I think if you're funny, you're funny, and it shouldn't matter what color, creed, sex you are. If you're funny and you deserve to be on stage, then you should be on a stage.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
But if you're unattractive, you won't.
It shouldn't matter.
Yeah, unattractability does count, especially for a woman. It's harder to be, because you got to think about it. Most good looking women don't get into comedy because they got better shit to do. And it's usually, you know.
I can get a husband.
Yeah, get man, what the fuck I got a man? It's usually them unattractive women or something, you know, and I ain't knocking on no, you know, But like I said, I'm a fan of women regardless, you know what I'm saying, in the comedy game, because I feel like, because they can tap into something that men, we just can't hit. You know, they can hit strike nerves that, you know, and you get somebody that's a woman that's actually funny and good at doing it, then they can, you know, they can be unstoppable as far as I see. But I, like I have, me personally, I have a lot of respect for professionalism. So, like, me personally, I would never, will ever hit on a female comedian, cute or not.
Right.
I've never, to this day, I've never, you know, hit on any of them, never try to date them or anything. It's just a respect.
You don't fish at the company pier.
Yeah, I don't fish at it. And then it's just that thing of, I don't want to be that, I don't want to add to it. Because I know already you a woman, and I know every dude is hitting on you already.
Right.
So I don't even want to add to
especially in this.
Yeah, oh, yeah, especially man. In this. Dude, come, let's have writing session / makeout session. You know, so... You know, I never try to.
As a 48-year-old man, that's just funny to me. Is that, that's like, your dude, game?
That's
right. That's your game. Let's have a writing session.
Let's have a writing session.
So we can make out.
Yeah.
But that's got to be. But as a female comic, and we don't have a female comic in the house. And now, and I promise I will have a show with nothing but female comics. I've done it before. I'm not afraid of that.
That's good.
But it just seems like if you're a good looking female comic, that even that works against you. Like you're saying, it's an advantage. It can work against you because that was one of the things with, what is her name? Gosh,
she
I can't remember.
She had a TV show and she was
She won Last Comic, and she's just wiry. She's just high,
I know you're talking about
high energy, blonde.
It's not Ayla Scherzinger, is it?
Yes, there you go. There you go, Eliza. Yeah,
oh, Eliza Shad, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like when she won, a lot of people put that on as she only won because she looked good.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went out and took those pictures, mm-hmm. those sexy pictures, and put them on mm-hmm. Instagram.
Yeah.
And that just made people go hard at her
right.
even more about it.
Right.
And same thing with Amy Schumer. They think that her being overtly sexual, now she's not, you know, quote unquote supermodel status or
right,
whatever.
Right. I hate
but
it.
She, you know, I mean, I hit it too. I right. mean, thick white girl, come on, right. man.
I mean,
with
it.
Money?
Yeah,
come on,
right,
man.
Right.
That's all the check boxes right there.
Well, I'll tell you something from the horse's mouth,
quick.
So to speak, from the mouth of my other half, my significant other.
Yes.
We were watching Trainwreck not that long ago. And we watched it, and yeah, we both thought, yeah, it's okay. It's a film, it was all right, I think it was great. And my missus, she turned around and she said, I didn't like it. I said, why? She said, didn't find it very believable. I said, why? What do you mean? She said, well, none of those guys would ever actually shag her.
You know, I...
And by shag, I mean have sex with.
Yeah. Oh, that's what you meant by shag. I had to go back in my middle Rolodex.
Right. To go back
basically,
to her.
Basically, she said, I don't believe it because none of these guys would actually fuck her. And that was the missus. That was the missus that said it.
From the woman. Damn.
But you know what?
From the women.
I mean, that was one of the things with the movie that was said about the movie and all that. And I mean, when you watch a movie, you always have to have that suspension of disbelief.
Right.
It's kind of like watching TV shows. I don't know if you guys get King of Queens over there or, you know. You can go all the way back to the Honeymooners and the Flintstones and everything. There's no way some big, fat, slovenly guy is going to pull some thin, hot wife. You know, Fred
right,
pull Wilma.
Right.
You know, dude from the Honeymooners. What's his name? Ralph.
Ralph. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Pulled
yeah.
his wife. King of Queens, you know, you had him pulling a hot wife. It's
yeah.
like, come on,
come
dude.
On the contrast, don't even.
Come
make,
on,
yeah.
It doesn't make any sense
no,
whatsoever.
It never did.
That's
Why?
Not believable.
It's
but
not
they
believable.
Pushed that all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You never saw Wilma or Betty without the dress on because you never know they could have been covered in psoriasis. You know,
could have had some kind of skin condition.
They could have had yeah, exactly under there. They could have had something going on. So yeah, you've got to give that one a pass.
They may have had ribs removed so they could stay thin for their husbands, because back then, you know.
They need to do that nowadays.
I'm just saying.
They need to remove like two ribs. These two ribs on each side.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, man. Right. So, what was the dinosaur called again? Was it Dino?
Dino.
Dino.
Yeah.
Dino.
Dino.
Yes.
Dino.
Dino. Even Dino got play. His girl was pink.
Dino did have
to get put a bow on her hair. No, dinosaurs don't do that. Which I've never seen. I just thought of this the other day. I've seen dogs screwing. I've seen horses screwing and everything else. I've never seen two cats fucking.
You never will, because they sneaky.
They slick about that
you
shit.
You hear them, though. You like, heard them.
Because you hear the music. Or, it's like boom, 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 boom. Oh, girl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, won't you lay down on this? Doom, doom. Give you some of this catnip.
Lay on these leaves.
Slip you some nip. Slip a nip or whatever. I don't know. I just thought about that the other day. It's like I've seen every animal damn near on a planet screwing.
Yeah.
Except for cats.
They got class, though. I'll give them that.
Yeah, exactly. Cats, you know what I'm saying? They've got decency, you know. They're more than happy to go behind the couch.
Yeah.
It's like, excuse us.
You can hear them. I've heard cats screwing, and this sounds horrible.
Like outside?
Yeah. It's like it's ear-piercingly punishing, but they getting it in. They getting it in. I got two cats. One of them be trying to have sex with the other one, but he neutered. He still be trying to have sex. I guess he's trying to establish dominance.
Hey, one monkey don't stop no show.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No monkey.
No monkey.
This monkey's gone. This
shit is still gonna get it.
Jeremiah, I've got two cats myself. I've got a boy and a girl.
What's their name?
Brother and sister, and that still doesn't stop them. And the boy is neutered as well. He doesn't know what he's doing. He tries to hump the back of her neck and everything. He just has no clue.
The back of the neck?
Damn.
Back of the neck, yeah. Maybe he does know what he's doing.
Hold on, let me write that down. That might come in handy. Hump the back of the neck.
Nape humping.
They're called Sonny.
I call it Nape.
Believe it or not, whiskey.
With enough whiskey, yeah, you could probably hump a back of a neck. call it naping. I like that.
Naping. That's some new shit. We done patent pending.
We've done everything else.
Yeah, patent.
So comedy over there, it's a huge thing because everybody loves to laugh. I'm assuming it's super, super huge over there just like it is here. Right,
I think we've got like basically we like where I'm from, Glasgow, Scotland. You know, that's like the home of Billy Connolly. I'm sure you've heard of Billy Connolly.
Oh, of course.
In fact, some other guys, like the guys that are big at the moment. Maybe you've heard them. Maybe you haven't. There's a guy called Kevin Bridges. Never heard of him. He's massive over here, selling out huge arenas. Frankie Boyle.
Name sounds familiar. Yes.
He is actually one of my he's one of my comedic heroes. Easily one of you just find him on YouTube. That's all. In fact, find his specials on Netflix if you can. He's got like The Last Days of Sodom, amongst others. I think The Last Days of Sodom was one of my favourites, but he's one of my all time favourites. What was the question again?
No. Just how comedy is perceived over it.
Yeah, overseas. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, but the thing is, in Glasgow, it's in our genetic makeup to have humour. Like from growing up, you know, and growing up, I don't know what it's like for you guys, but like when we're at school, if you know, it's like the first your first sign of weakness, you know, your mates pick up on it. So if you come to school one day and if you say you've got a limp, say you fell or twisted your ankle, then that'll be picked up on.
Oh, yeah.
And then for the rest of your life, you'll be called fucking, you know, limpy McDickface. Right. Do you know what I mean?
McDickface. I like that.
Right. Yeah.
We thrive off that kind of just like slagging off your mates, abusing your pals, ripping the utter piss out of them, you know, and it's kind of ingrained. So I think by the time we get to adulthood, the long and short of it is there's a lot of people in Scotland that think they're hilarious. Everyone's a joker.
Right.
And the sheer volume of comedians there are out there at the moment is massive. It's massive. I can't speak for England because I've gigged a bit in England, but I'm not 100% certain what their scene's like. But I know in Scotland we're a very small country. We've got four, maybe five big cities, and then the rest of it's mostly just hills and bits and bobs. And there's a lot of people fighting for the same piece of the cake.
Do you guys deal with like political jokes? A lot of that.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
you talk about our politics.
If you want to talk about our politics,
I'm just saying. Over there, do you guys like? Obama was great. Trump sucks, or Obama sucks and Trump is great.
Our shit is probably like a reality TV show to them by now. They're like, let's turn on
What's going on in America today?
Your politics is massive news over here.
Yeah.
Whereas I think our politics.
We don't know shit about Scotland. We don't know what the fuck is going on in Scotland. We think you still guys got on kilts and shit. We don't know what the fuck is going on in Scotland.
And we think everybody is represented by Scotty from Star Trek. That's it.
And Roddy Piper.
Roddy Piper.
That's it. Scotty and Roddy Piper. R.I.P.
Grinchkeeper Willie for the Simpsons, you know. It's basically that's it. But no, but we do, like, your news is big news to us because it affects us in that kind of, you know, domino effect, and it affects the rest of the world. Right. Whereas our news in Scotland, man, you don't need to know anything that's going on.
We should know.
Is bottle of famous grouse going to make it to your supermarket by Monday?
Yeah. Y'all got shit going on. We don't even know. Like, y'all probably got like a whole, like, you know, app that would cure cancer. We don't even fucking know about. You know what I'm saying? We need that.
Trust me, mate. The Scotland app isn't one you want to download, honestly.
Best drinking app, where to get the best drinks. Y'all got all kinds of shit. We missing out on y'all knowledge of alcohol and where to get it, and, you know, IPAs and shit.
We wouldn't be interested in it anyway because we're too busy stuffing entire meals into other entire meals. Then we wonder why people want to fly planes into buildings and shit over here.
I was chatting to an American friend the other day, and they will say they use the term whiskey dick.
Whiskey dick, yeah.
Yeah. we call it brewer's drip.
Who?
Brewer's drip, as in brewer. Brewer's drip, and that's it. Yeah, you can't get it. They were saying about in America, you call it whiskey dick.
Brewer's drip. Oh wow, which one? That's disheartening, man. I'd rather have whiskey dick is straight to the point. You know? Brewer's dick, you got to think about it. I mean, when you think about it,
you think about the entire process. Yeah. It's like, wait a minute, they had to get the hops in here, they had to do the squeezes, the whole thing to get to this level. It still failed.
It's bullshit.
As long as you're not thinking about Charles Brewer's dick.
Brewer's dick.
That's all right. We've got loads of just everyone's a joker, man. Everyone's a comedian over here, and it's there's a big point, but we've got the world's biggest arts and comedy festival, which is the Edinburgh Fringe.
I'm dying to get to that.
I know Mike's keen on that, and I don't blame you, but it is the world's largest performing arts festival, and it's 90% made up in comedy. You think of all the big names over the years that have, you know, hit the stratosphere, basically. You'll find the majority of them have come over and they've done the Edinburgh Fringe, and it's an experience, man. It's one that you must experience. You have to come over and you have to check it out, man, because you will not regret it.
Have you worked with any big names over there or at the Fringe?
I've gigged like Frankie Boyle, as I've mentioned there, a couple of times. One of my heroes, absolutely amazing to meet him. A couple of guys here. We've got a guy over here now who's massive. He's Canadian, but he's huge in the UK. But then again, I think if you mention him across the pond, I don't think many people have heard of him. It's Tom Stead. But he's amazing, man. I had the pleasure of introducing him to the stage a short while ago. Little things like that. So we do, but we've got. You mentioned, I feel like, about comedians travelling. I don't know whether you did mention that or whether you didn't. But for example, like, we've got another big female comedian over here just now, a girl called Catherine Ryan, who's massive. She's on everything. She's on Live at the Apollo. She's on all the panel shows, touring the UK and all that. But you mention her to somebody across in Canada, they go, meh, never heard of her. I wonder if there's anybody across the pond, if there's any huge names from the UK that are making it big across your way that I've never heard of.
I'm not sure. Like over there, I don't know how many American, you know, not everyone is Russell Peters, you know, that guy can go anywhere.
Well, we've got Reginald D. Hunter.
Mm. Okay. Yeah,
he's
huge over here.
He's massive.
See, I gotta look into these guys. Send me a list of these guys, and I'll look into it. But, like, is Chappelle huge over there?
Do you know what? Chappelle is kind of underground huge over here. Like, comedians, people that are comedy fans, they know who Dave Chappelle is, and they love Dave Chappelle. But the general sort of wider mainstream, I'm not that aware of him.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's good, because then that means there's an opportunity for me to be the second black person in Scotland to come over there and blow up.
Well, I've, I've already got you two or three gigs when you come over. Not a problem.
Because I don't know, everyone likes to laugh and all that, and they like to talk about politics. I'll just be like, Trump sucks. And they'll be like, he's the greatest. And they'll put me on their shoulders and shit and feed me Haggis.
No.
They won't do that.
The majority of Scottish audiences will be on. If you say Trump sucks, yeah, they will raise you aloft. Everyone thinks that. What is your leanings? If you don't mind me asking.
All right. One last question, man. And then I have to wrap it up.
I want to know.
Haggis.
Yeah, it's real.
It's real. Have you had it?
Yeah.
What's haggis?
Explain to this man what haggis is.
Sounds delicious.
I know it sounds like ice cream, but it's not. It's lovely. It's sheep stomach. Which is still in the lining, and you boil it.
Oh, okay. So that's y'all versus our chitlins.
Yeah, but they put, don't you have like potatoes and other vegetables in it?
You have basically, it's haggis, neeps, and tatties. So you have haggis, neeps are potatoes. No, sorry, neeps are turnips, and tatties are potatoes. So you boil the haggis, and then after you've boiled it, you chop it up, and it comes out in this big, delicious mush. And then you add potatoes, and then you add mashed turnip, and then you just mash it all together, chuck in a bit of gravy. If you don't have gravy, drambuie is also acceptable.
Drambuie?
And just mash it all up and eat it. And it's fantastic. Mike, you'll get some when you come over.
Well, you know what? We can make that, we can do a foreign exchange. I'll eat some haggis. You come over here and I'll take you somewhere and get you some chitlins.
You got to get some chitlins.
We do everything, mate. We do haggis pakora. We do deep fried haggis.
I might deal with that.
Deep
if you
fried,
said deep fried.
Deep fried, solid. Yeah,
deep fried. However you want your haggis cooked.
That's right in my blood pressure range.
Yeah, right.
Deep fried.
Right. So you heard of chitlins, right? You know what chitlins are, right?
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
Haggis is a better, it sounds like it's better prepared.
Yeah, because chitlins takes that's some effort, man.
I wouldn't say haggis is better prepared than anything. Considering all it takes to prepare it is just to dump it in some boiling water and leave it. And then by the end of it, you just scoop it out, pop it open. We do the whole buns supper. Crackers. Have you heard of Rabbi Buns?
No.
Right, okay. Well, I'm going to educate you now.
Yeah.
Right, we have, there's a famous poet laureate called Rabbi Buns, Robert Buns.
Poet laureate.
Back from, I think he's even pre-Shakespeare, and he wrote many a poem, and a lot of these poems still to this day nobody understands. However, they're very Scottish, and we have a thing we call it's Burns Night. It's Rabbi Burns Night. It's on the 26th, roughly about the 25th, 26th of January every month, and people have what they call Burns suppers. And we get together, we all put on kilts, and then we say lots of Robbie Burns poems, and we all talk a load of nonsense, like I'm doing now.
You said it's January the 25th?
I think it's the 25th. It's the 24th, 25th.
That's my birthday. So now I got something to do on my birthday. I got a thing now. I'm gonna have a Robbie Buns themed birthday now.
Right,
I'm gonna put on a kilt. It's gonna really be a girl's skirt, but I'm gonna call it a kilt.
Jeremiah, on the 25th of January, mate, on the 25th of January, you nip out, you get yourself a kilt, a shirt, a little skiing do, stick it into your sock, get yourself some nice shoes, and you go out, you take the missus out, and you make her, you find a way of making her a Burns supper. I'll send you a Burns poem, which you can read to her. And when you do that, and you've got to do it in a Scottish accent, mate, you've got to do it in a Scottish accent, with a little tartan, see you, Jimmy hat on, with a little ginger hair, spike.
Right, okay, some freckles. I can save a couple bucks.
You paint some freckles on. Right.
So okay. Save a couple bucks, get mama's bath towels, mama and them bath towels. Uh-huh. That can use that for a kilt.
Right.
And then you, Robbie Buns, palm. Now all you need is the palm.
I need the palm now.
I'll send you the poem.
I got a Scottish accent right here.
You can also do, if you go onto the right website, you can buy a kilt for probably about $40-$50.
I'm going to just go ahead and borrow one of my little cousins, you know what I'm saying, like private school skirts. Yeah. They ain't going to know. They'll be like, look, this is a kilt, man. It's plaid. That's all the fuck they going to know.
I killed it. Jeremiah, as long as you've got good, strong thighs, I'm sure you can pull it off.
That's it, man.
That's why you need some strong thighs.
Yeah, just watch some old Simpsons, get that Groundskeeper Willie, and you'll be hooked up.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, let's talk about this movie that you're in. because I'm interested in this. Yeah, man, Jay's he's in a movie. What's the name of the movie?
The movie that's coming out. It's actually coming out tomorrow. It's going to be on Netflix. It's called The Worst Nightmare. So you can yeah, you can Google it
and, on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix.
All right, what's it about? Brilliant.
It's about the betrayal of friends over the rap game. And I play a janitor slash battle rapper at the end of the night. So
okay,
janitor by day, rapper by night.
That sounds like some superhero shit.
Yeah.
I'm janitor man.
Right. Janitor man.
I'm going to crush you, son. No.
Yeah, but it's a small role, but it's a role that, you know, I got. So, you know, I got to, you know, promote it and stuff. So.
And it's on Netflix.
Yeah, it's on Netflix, yeah.
So how did you get the role? Like, I mean, how did this all come to be?
Well, so weird. This is how it came to be. I just answered a, you know, I got an email from this particular casting website. And I answered the call. I sent in a monologue. And he was like, all right. And then I didn't have no knowledge of it being on Netflix prior to, you know, any of the audition.
Right.
So I did audition, and come to find out, he was like, it's going to be on Netflix. And how it even came about, the way he was telling me, is that it was a friend that he knew who actually ended up working at Netflix. And so that friend gave him the plug on, you know, getting on Netflix and everything like that. So it was all one of those happenstance type of things. And it was just like, all I did was, I was just looking for something to do with acting.
Because if it were like 10 years ago and the guy worked at Blockbuster,
right,
you'd be like, yeah, man, we're going to have, I'm going to get you into Blockbuster. He might have meant a store. Not
right.
Now you know it's on Netflix. Yeah. You know, like, all right, bet.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So who else is in the movie?
It's me and the guy who actually wrote it is C.J. Parr. He's a rapper out of Chicago. That's
okay.
Where I went to go shoot the movie. And it's a bunch of people who, newcomers, no big name or anything like that.
Okay.
So it's just small independent film. This is, you know, first film and everything like that.
So wait a minute. Morris Chestnut wasn't in it?
No,
he seemed like he's in every black movie.
Right.
There's like four black people.
We couldn't get him, so they got me.
It's like saying Candyman or something. You know, you say Candyman three times, Morris Chestnut shows up and says,
right,
what role do I got?
Right, right. Am I the handsome black man?
Yeah.
Or the cute black man? Which one am I?
Nice. And when did you shoot it? Last year?
Yeah, it was actually shot last year in October.
And oh, man.
Yeah, it was shot last year in October. So he wrapped it up real quick. And he got his own story behind, you know, how it all came about.
Right.
But I was just happy to be a part of it, you know, just to be a part of it.
Representing Pontiac. Did you have, like, you wear, like, anything Pontiac to represent, you know, a P or, because your last name is Pauling,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
that kind of get all, yeah, you know.
You know what? I didn't even think about it. I didn't, you
like
know.
You just
what?
Say your line go Yak Town or something
no,
like that.
Yeah. No, I didn't think about it, man. I should have plugged the Yak. I sure enough didn't. I didn't plug the city, but I should have plugged the city. Now,
well, you put us on the back on your back, man. That's good enough, man.
Yeah.
I dig that.
Yeah,
I'm trying.
I did a movie with Dean Cain too, and it's I did that last year too. So that one there was coincidentally, the one with Dean Cain is called A Parent's Worst Nightmare. But that one is the worst nightmare. So it's like,
are you kidding?
Yeah, no, I can't. No, I'm not kidding. Yeah, and neither one of them are horror.
I think you've just been typecast.
Typecast, right. Yeah. He's got a horror.
Is the film called A Parent's Worst Nightmare, or is it that's the feeling of a parent because you're doing a film with Dean Cain?
That's the name of the film.
Okay,
A Parent's Worst Nightmare.
I'm also still marveling at Jeremiah's use of the word happenstance. I thought that was pretty awesome.
I got a huge lexicon. I be throwing shit out there.
Look at that.
Yeah, I do. I be fucking them up.
You see how you flipped that? I got a huge lexicon. I be throwing shit out
there. Throwing shit out there, yeah.
I dig that.
Right. White people love that shit. Right. You know what I mean?
It's like, I'm like,
he got dreadlocks.
Did he just flip it?
We definitely don't use the word happenstance enough over here. It's like unbeknownst.
Right. Yeah.
Therefore, henceforth. Well, dude, how was it like to work with Dean Cain?
Dean Cain was like, he was like real childlike. Like, you know, you always hear about people who are like Hollywood and they're stuck up. Like, he was like, he was real like childlike. He was like, you were looking at him, was like, is this Dean King? Like, do, like, like it
this
was
Superman?
Yeah, is this Superman doing this? Like, it was like we had got done shooting this scene and we were done shooting the scene. And so Dean Cain is running around the scene with the gun, like crouching, going pew pew, and I was like, "Is he retarded?" But it was just like he was just so real with it, though. And I was like, "If he can do that, it just loosened up every, you know, for right. me, it was just like, well, damn, it was just loosen everybody me up to be like, all right, I'm cool, because like Dean Cain is Superman is kind of looking remedial right now."
So well, like, do you know what?
If he can retarded, do that, I could be all right.
If he has retarded, it makes sense when he got all that strength.
Yeah. Yes.
I was just imagining the spinning newspaper with the headlines.
Yeah.
Dean Cain is autistic or something like that. Something wrong. You know.
He was cool, but what was funny about Dean Cain though.
Not like, that there's anything wrong with being autistic. Nah, just so people don't call or send me ugly emails or some shit.
And I said autistic, so send it to me because I could use the email. But, no, he was so cool. So think about it. Well, we had lunch and everything like that. We had shot the scene and everything. And he had came up to me. I was just sitting there chilling. He was like, hi, I'm Dean Cain. He introduced himself to me. I'm like, I know who you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, motherfucker, you Superman, you know? So I know who you are. But he was just so genuine, and he was just so cool. I was like, all right, that's cool. But he was a real cool guy.
Where'd you shoot that?
That was shot in Detroit.
Oh.
Yeah, that was shot in Detroit on the west side. Yep, on the west side of Detroit. And we shot that. Parts of it was shot in other parts of Detroit. Like, we went to out towards Grand Rapids. We went out there.
Now, what was that movie about?
It was about sex trafficking. So it's about sex.
Oh, yeah. So Detroit would have been.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah. We have a very strong sex trafficking business situation here in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
So because we're a border town, we can get him in and out of here.
Get him in.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Pablo Sersky is actually my sex trafficker name. my real name, I think. Keep holding, because I don't want him to be involved with the old sex trafficking.
Still say you're going to get deported if you come over here again.
more than likely, now I've said that. Yes, I'm so bamboozled by happenstance, though. So.
By happenstance, right.
Shout out to Real Black Poppy, my homeboy, who wanted me to shout him out on the podcast.
All right, well, hey, shout out Real Black Poppy.
Yeah, I don't know. He just
definitely. Shout out, brother. Thanks for listening, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you listening.
He listening.
Well, look, man.
If you want to shout out to Rob Crosby as well, he would appreciate it as well.
Rob Crosby, shout out to you too, my brother. All right.
Rob Crosby.
Jeremiah, you have any shows coming up, comedy shows, anything big coming up in the near?
Nothing big, but I'll be at Starters this coming weekend. So catch me at Starters Bar and Grill right there on Plymouth and Southfield Freeway right there in Detroit, Michigan.
All right.
Yeah, so I'll be there this weekend.
And your movie, The Worst Nightmare, comes out tomorrow on Netflix, people.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Check that out. I'll be watching. Peep out my boy. He'll be the guy with the mop and rapping.
Yep, and you can see the trailer, too. Go on, see the trailer.
Check out the trailer.
Check out the trailer on YouTube, The Worst Nightmare 2017. So I'm in the trailer, too.
How can people follow you?
Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram, @ComedianJPauling. So follow me on there, and follow me.
All right, there it is. And what about you, Pablo? What do you have coming up?
Other than after this show, I'm going to go and download the codes for US and Canada Netflix and make sure I can get the show there.
I'm international,
thank you. Spread the word.
I'm doing the Comedy Store in LA tomorrow. I'm doing Saturday Night Live on Tuesday. I'm doing the gigs at the the famous places in New York. Nah, I'm doing nothing, mate. I'm doing nothing. Shows in class.
Full of shit.
Right.
I'm like, oh, wow, Comedy Store.
Yeah, Comedy Store. I'm like, damn.
I'm currently on a two-month sabbatical. My first show back is in Stoke-on-Trent, which is a place down in England, and it's on the 26th of May, and it's a place called ROFL Comedy Club. So I'm doing that, and then I've got a show on July the 1st, which is at a place called Victoria's in Glasgow, which is mental. And then it's after that, it's off to the Fringe, where I'm doing a show called Scott Roast, which is basically the theme is it's a roast the audience type show. The audience come in.
So that's not like every Detroit show.
Yeah, really.
Every Detroit comedy show.
See, but you guys, as I've said already, man, you guys should definitely come over, man. I know Mike, I know we've chatted about it. I know you're keen.
I'm working on it, brother.
Come over, mate, and you will be looked after.
All right. Cool. And I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you mightily. And if you guys are used to roasting audiences and all that, I'll bring you over here and we'll take you to Mandy's and you can just go ham.
Yeah.
No. Mandy's is a club over here. I haven't even been there, put it that way. So
it's like
throw me into the lines then, my friend.
Yeah, Mandy's is like, you know, you ever watch the Muppet Babies? I don't know if they had the Muppet Babies in Scotland. When they got Fozzie Bear and he telling his jokes and he like waka 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 and they just throw shit at you. That's just how Mandy's is. It's just that, but with real humans and less potatoes.
No cartoon Muppet.
Yep, that's Mandy's. But it's fun though. It's fun.
Well, look, man. Once again, I appreciate you two being on the show, man. Once again, give it up to my main man Jeremiah Pauling. Clap it up for Jay.
Thank you.
Awesome. And my main man calling all the way over from Scotland, dude. I appreciate you to the fullest.
Thank you, Pablo
Sirski. Give it up for Pablo.
Sirski.
And look, man, I have nothing going on this weekend, but I have two super huge shows coming up next weekend, May 5th and May 6th, with national touring comedian Kevin Bozeman. We will be performing at the Laugh Tracks Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. Inside of Break Time Billiards. That's in Novi, Michigan. That's next Friday, next Saturday, May 5th, May 6th. Tickets are on sale now. You can get them online for $15, or you can pay $20 at the door. Whichever one you pay is going to be worth it, I guarantee you. My main man, Killer Cam, Big Fella Rowe, is going to be there emceeing the show, and we have a couple of guest comedians coming through as well. But you want to check out these shows. Kevin Bozeman, next Friday and Saturday, May 5th, May 6th at 8 o'clock at Laugh Tracks Comedy Club in Novi, Michigan. You can go to my website, MikeJeter.com. I have information there. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at O Mike Jeter. That's O-H Mike Jeter. Oh, my God. O-M-G. So O Mike Jeter, Twitter, Instagram. You can go on Facebook, Michael Jeter Comedy, and check me out. I appreciate you guys listening. Once again, we're going to wrap this up. Again, everybody out there, thanks for listening to Jeter Deals With It. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Bye, Mama.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Mike.
Cheers, man. Pleasure. Thank you.